Good evening, America. Welcome to the show. This is Mark Levine, reporting live from Washington, D.C. Leslie is off tonight. She has an anniversary to celebrate, and I got a lot to celebrate, too. Namely, I have the celebration of the Affordable Health Care Act being held constitutional today. I myself personally was at the United States Supreme Court, as those of you who follow my Twitter feed at Mark Levine Talk know, and follow me on Facebook and follow my website, marklevinetalk.com, you know that David Schuster and I were there and we reported on the decision and I scrambled through the opinion. And unlike CNN or Fox or Current TV, I actually read the opinion, or at least I skimmed it. It's 193 pages, but I know how to skim an opinion. It's part of my legal training. And I skimmed through the opinion to make sure that I had it right before reporting accurately on the constitutionality of the decision. Now, I got to give them a few jabs. They got it wrong. I got it right. So, Mark, you were telling me beforehand that you actually were watching me on video, our video cast, and at the same time watching CNN, and were a little confused.
And had Twitter up, so I was like, the modern day, you know, what are you doing for breaking news? So I'm watching the feed, and all of a sudden, like you said, Mark, you know, we had talked off air about maybe, you know, CNN comes on and has the bottom line everybody is famously looking at now, which said, mandate ruled unconstitutional, or I think it was something like individual mandate.
They said kills the bill.
Yeah.
They said Supreme Court kills bill.
So killed. And then all of a sudden, almost, it seemed like less than a minute to me, I'm watching Mark say the individual mandate has been upheld, and he's the one reporting it. David Schuster's right next to him, and all of a sudden all these people start cheering behind him. And in my mind, I am just so confused. And all I could think of is, well, who's right? Because somebody's got to be right. It can't be both.
Because clearly
ways.
Either I'm wrong or CNN's wrong.
And then one of the best feelings was, first I refresh on Twitter. I was just looking up Affordable Care Act in the search term, and I refresh, and I see AP or something like Hold the Phones, AP now reporting it's upheld. And so I heard Mark say this before the AP. And then,
oh, good.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you hear poor Wolf Blitzer goes, now, wait a minute. We're having some conflicting reports now. And and that's when I started to realize, and I got really excited. And then, just as everybody else probably was, you start to hear the details roll in. And once you, which I'll let you get into, Mark, once you hear the decision, you can see why, what people probably did
wrong. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But let me give a few secrets to people out there. If you get a Supreme Court opinion, of course, we had runners that would run down the opinion to us. And it's one of the advantages, by the way, of being in Washington, D.C., is you can actually go to the United States Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, I got to say, I got to give them credit, not the justices so much as the staff. They are extremely professional. Congress leaks like a sieve. The administration, not just this administration, all administrations, Democratic and Republican, are constantly leaking. You can never get a leak from the United States Supreme Court. And I mean never. And I know people who are former clerks of the Supreme Court. I know clerks, in fact, who called my show after they no longer worked for Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and reported that she was a hypocrite in the Bush v. Gore decision. But while you are a clerk at the Supreme Court, I got to tell you, they have more secrets than the CIA, and they keep them all. So the way it works is two things happen at once inside the United States Supreme Court. One, you can actually go in and sit there and listen to the opinion. If you are a Supreme Court lawyer, you get in right away. And if you're a member of the public, you get in based on sort of who's the first in line. And apparently 50 or 60 people, many of whom had stood in line starting yesterday, did get in. And then once you're in there, you're trapped. And you're trapped without electronic devices, because they don't allow them in the courtroom. So you can listen to the judges reading out their opinions, and then you have to, you know, if you're in the press, run out and say what they said. But they're going to read their opinions in order, and that's not the quickest way to find out a Supreme Court decision. The quickest way to find out a Supreme Court decision is that just inside the door, the clerks have massive amounts of copied paper. Now, they've done all this overnight. They knew the decision. They don't talk. Again, incredibly professional. So they're sitting here there with 200 stacks 200 different copies of a 193-page decision. So they tend to be taller than the person themselves. They tend to be several of them, and imagine these huge stacks of paper. I've got one in front of me, the one I got from the Supreme Court. And like I said, this opinion is it includes the opinion and the concurrences and dissents. It's 193 pages long. It is double-sided. I'm glad they save paper, but it is quite a long opinion. And you get your runner in there, and they run in there, and then they run down the stairs. You may have seen some of the people running down the stairs with the opinion, and then they hand them out to everyone. There's actually a photo of me on the web. I think, Mark, you posted it on Leslie's Facebook page, right? Okay. Well, it's also on my Facebook page, Mark Levine, M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E, and the Mark Levine fan page, which you're welcome to join, by the way, and joining those discussions there. We've been having a lot of discussions all day. Anyway, there's a picture of me anxiously flipping through the opinion. Now, so to get the whole time frame, and I've gone back, and because I taped CNN, and I also taped Current because David Schuster is a reporter for Current, and we thought they were going to break in and do our coverage. So I'll tell you about that story in a second. And we're going to get to all the legal, political, and moral implications of the act. Don't worry. We've got 3 hours. I want to crow about the press coverage because I woke up early this morning. I woke up at 6. So I know many of you wake up before 6. But anyway, it's early for me. So I go down to the Supreme Court, and we get the opinion, and I rush to read it. There's actually a segment in between if you go to my clips on my website, marklevinetalk.com, before, you know, when we announce it, and then because I hear from the people inside, but then I run to read it myself. Anyway, here's the secret to reading a Supreme Court opinion very fast. Okay, just so you know, next time it happens to you. What you do is the recorder, the person who, there's a guy who, or woman, who is assigned to summarize the opinion. And usually they do a very good job, too. In fact, the last time they did a bad job dates back to the 1800s when they wrongly summarized an opinion and said that corporations were people. And we've actually lived with that particular Scrivener's error ever since. That dates back to the 1880s. But since then, they usually do a good job, particularly if you have to read fast. What you do is you read the summary. And just to give you an idea, you skip past to where it says held. I don't know if they did that. And then you need to read all the numbered segments. You don't have to read the reasoning. You just read the numbered segments. And frankly, all you had to do, really, and I did it in 90 seconds, is you read through 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Five short paragraphs. What happened is CNN read 1 and 2 and quit. It's kind of like, I don't know, watching a sports event and leaving at halftime. You may be right about who won, or you may be wrong. I had long argued on this show, on my show, on the Inside Scoop, on the Raucous Caucus, on CNBC and Fox News, and everywhere I had a chance, I had long argued that there were four separate reasons why this decision should be found constitutional. I've obviously argued it here on the Leslie Marshall Show. In fact, if you listened to Leslie's show last night, you heard me say the four reasons, the four separate reasons why this act is constitutional. And again, you know, this isn't magic. All I did was open up my pocket constitution, which I carry wherever I go, and look at Article 1, which is the powers of Congress, and Section 8, which really enumerates the powers of Congress. And I said there are four separate provisions by which Congress has the power to pass this law. One is the regulation of interstate commerce. One is the power to lay and collect taxes. One is to provide for the general welfare. And one is the necessary and proper clause. That's the catch-all at the end that says that they can pass all laws necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. In other words, if it's allowed to provide for the general welfare, then they can do everything that's necessary and proper to get to the general welfare. So it's sort of the catch-all clause. So I don't know whether CNN didn't have constitutional lawyers. I saw Jeffrey Toobin there, and I'm not sure what happened with him. I need to, frankly, Google and find out, because he is a highly respected legal scholar.
I heard him, actually, being interviewed
today. Did he explain what
happened? Well, one of the day reporters, I can't think of her last name.
There was a woman, yeah.
For CNN today, last name is also a B. She basically was interviewing Jeffrey Toobin, and what she asked was, she was like, man, it would have been great to be a fly on the wall. What was the mood like, and he's explaining what happened. And he was talking more about, it was actually kind of interesting, the inflection of Chief Justice Roberts. He said usually he's this robust guy, and Midwesterner comes out, he speaks real clear. He said he looked tired or something, or sad. He said his eyes were bloodshot. It was weird. And he said he couldn't figure out why, and he wasn't speaking as clearly as usual. And he said he didn't understand after the first thing, but then when he started reading the second part, his speculation is he thinks he was reading it because obviously he felt like he let his, you know, conservative co-people down. But he said he did his job, regardless of whether or not you agree with something. As a judge, you're supposed to just interpret the law.
Absolutely. Now, so he's in the room. So there's two simultaneous things happening. There are people in the room. But actually, the people hearing the justices, although it's frankly far more interesting to do that, are not getting the quickest news, because obviously you can read or skim 193 pages or frankly just the syllabus of the 193 pages, which is only 6 pages long. You can skim 6 pages a lot quicker than you can listen to judges read their opinions. So they put Tubin in the wrong place. They put Tubin there, which is fine, but they need, let's face it, CNN needs me on their air. I'm just going to say this, because they need a constitutional lawyer.
They would have been right.
What's that?
I said, well, they would have been right if they had you.
Exactly. Exactly. They need someone who knows how to read Supreme Court opinions, because, like I said, so here's the timeline. And I've gone back and I've looked at my video and I've looked at CNN's video. So we both see, everyone gets the same stuff at once, because, like I said, the Supreme Court keeps their secrets very close to the vest. And then we all have runners, and they're all quick, hopefully, and have their shoes on, usually young people, and they run in and they all get it at once. So CNN got it at 10, roughly the same time I did, about 10:06. Okay. At 10:07, CNN reports wrongly that the individual mandate has been declared unconstitutional. At that moment, when they're reporting it, I'm still reading, because I didn't report that they upheld the constitutionality till 10:08. So apparently that 60 to 90 seconds extra that I took was the difference. They stopped reading. Like I said, they did like going to a sporting event and leaving in halftime. And oh my God, the egg on their face. They report themselves in their advertising as the most trusted name in news. And on something of this magnitude, to not wait 1 minute to make sure that it's right. Anyway, they report at 10:07. I report it right at 10:08. They didn't actually take down their banner, which says the act is unconstitutional or Supreme Court kills bill, until 10:12. And they didn't report it accurately until 10:14. So for 7 awkward minutes, they got it wrong. And for 5 minutes, they're actually putting on their banner that it's wrong. Fox News messed up for 2 minutes. And I'll tell you the person who caught it, someone who I've pointed out on this show before that I respect, even though she's a conservative and I disagree with her. She's very intelligent, and that's Megyn Kelly. She's a lawyer. She's smart. She's quick. And she caught it. But again, Fox News reported it wrong for 2 minutes. And here's the thing that really bugs me. And those of you that want to write Current, I really would hope you'd write them a letter. Don't tell them I told you to. But so Current News was going to cover David Schuster and me live at the United States Supreme Court. But I don't know whether they were concerned about ratings for the Stephanie Miller show or what. They decided at the last minute to go with the Stephanie Miller show. So Stephanie Miller, to her discredit, come on, Stephanie, come on my show and talk to me if you disagree. To her discredit, instead of going to Current reporter David Schuster and Mark Levine live on scene with the opinion on hand at the Supreme Court, she turned on CNN. And she repeated CNN's false announcement, and so also got it wrong because they didn't trust their own reporter on the scene. It's amazing. I got to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'll tell you more about the background, what went on behind the scenes at the United States Supreme Court, and then we'll get to the actual opinion. Trust me, we'll get to the legal ruling and the political implications and your calls, all of that, 888-653-7543, right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine giving you the back scenes at the United States Supreme Court today. I got to say, one of the real benefits of living in Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. gets, I don't know, people attack Washington. When they really are attacking is the politicians. It's fine not to like the politicians. It's fine not to like members of Congress or the President of the United States. But please don't attack my fair city. Washington, D.C. is a fine city and one that I quite like living in. And one of the reasons I like living there is because you can attend history in the making. And of course, today I was at the United States Supreme Court attending history in the making. If you want to see my broadcast, no longer live, I did. We announced it yesterday on the Leslie Marshall Show, and then I hosted live with David Schuster from 9 to 12, 3 hours. This morning. So I'm a little tired. I'm a little punch drunk from the decision today. But if you missed any part of it, you can actually watch it right now at marklevinetalk.com. Not right now, of course, when the show is over. You can watch it tonight or tomorrow. It'll be on for a long time. And you will see that I got it right at a time when virtually every other network was getting it wrong. Mark, you said to me, you texted me that CBS and ABC Radio also got it wrong, because I hadn't heard that, but I haven't looked that up to check that point.
Yeah, our assistant producer tonight, Joe Beamer, actually was letting me know that he was working a different show, and that's the experience they ran into. He's actually here.
What it sounds like happens is everybody just turns on CNN and then reports what they say. And you know what? That would be fine if it were... bombing in Iran or if there is something that we couldn't record. I mean, I can't go and see whether a drone strike in Pakistan succeeded or not. So, you know, I understand people relying on CNN for something like that. But the nice thing about the United States Supreme Court, and indeed about practically all the institutions in Washington, I mean, you can go visit the Supreme Court, you can go visit Congress, and the Supreme Court, to its credit, doesn't favor... I mean, if they had given Jeffrey Toobin the opinion last night, of course he would have read it all, digested it, and been on scene. The same is true if they'd give it to me last night. They give it all to us at the same time, and it's a race. It's kind of fun. I mean, I'm kind of a competitive person, Mark. I admit that. And this is, you know, there's a physical... This reminds me of one of those, you know, anything goes things.
Like amazing, the Amazing Race?
Maybe so,
like
because,
that.
Yeah, there's physical and a mental exercise. The physical exercise I didn't do. I had a runner because he's fast, a young runner, you know, run in and bring me the opinion. But, you know, it's also a mental exercise. How quickly can you digest, you know, 193-page opinion and report it first but yet accurately? And as far as I can determine, I actually did the earliest correct video cast of this, because Fox, CNN, and CNN, Fox, CNN, and Current got it wrong. MSNBC got it right, but they got it right later than I did.
Joe's saying, I guess, it was ABC's Twitter that had it wrong, and CBS Radio had it wrong.
Okay,
so
ABC and CBS got it wrong. NBC got it right, but later than I did. So I have to crow a little bit. The AP, by the way, did get it right, but they weren't video. They're written. So I think I was the first video in the nation to get it right. I told you folks to watch me. Sorry, I'm bragging a little bit. 888-653-7543. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. Leslie has her anniversary tonight. I want to wish her a very happy anniversary. And I think it was a fortuitous day for me to take the reins of her baby, of her show. I am always pleased and honored to be here. It was great because I could announce it last night that I was going to the United States Supreme Court this morning. And like I said, I'm somebody who always appreciates history. And I want to give you an idea of what it was like at the U.S. Supreme Court. You may have seen pictures on CNN or Fox or MSNBC. They got the pictures right. They got the video right. But I don't know how much you can convey the madness, the silliness, it's a party atmosphere. It's weird because, of course, you mix together those who support the Affordable Health Care Act, those who oppose it, and of course call it Obamacare, and now even supporters are starting to call it Obamacare, which, since the president said he's fine with it, I myself will do it from time to time. So you got the supporters of Obamacare, the opponents of Obamacare. You've got people on the far left who oppose Obamacare because they support single payer, support universal health coverage, Medicare for all, and don't think that you should pass anything except that. I agree with my friends on the left that I would prefer universal health care, and we can discuss why. I would prefer Medicare for all. And yet I fully recognize that sometimes a partial step forward is better than no step forward. The Civil Rights Act was won incrementally. Thurgood Marshall, in fact, did not just go in and file Brown versus the Board of Education. If you study his legal strategy, he started back in the 40s. With there were cases like Sweat v. Painter. He went through law schools first, and then he went to universities, and then he finally got down to Brown v. Board of Education, elementary schools. Usually great battles are not won in a day. They are won time after time. So I see this act as a step towards single payer, a step towards universal health care, a step towards Medicare for all. Let's face it, 94% of people on Medicare like Medicare. That's a pretty good record. There are not many other things that 94% agree on. But so there was some on the left that opposed it because it wasn't perfect. There were a lot on the right who opposed it. And there was a hefty group of liberals that were singing We Love Obamacare songs. And there's music, and there's, of course, people dressed up as 18th century patriots in the appropriate garb. And there's doctors out there on the scene. There's lots of parents of very sick children and sick people themselves who are explaining how if this is declared unconstitutional, they will lose their health care. They may die. A woman gave a very powerful story about her baby and how it's certain that, of course, that if this Supreme Court had overturned the law, that the baby would have died. And we're going to talk at length about the rationale behind the decision, why Chief Justice Roberts joined four liberal justices to make that decision. We're going to talk about the Constitution. I got it right here in front of me along with my 193-page opinion. Did you hear that? I'm going to play it there. That's the sound of the opinion hitting the table. It's quite hefty. It's probably, I don't know, half a pound. I don't know. I wouldn't want to mail this thing. But of course, we're going to go through the dissent piece by piece and obviously go into the politics of it. Now, what I find most interesting is when Mark Grimaldi, who is Leslie's producer, sent out on Facebook and Twitter, what do you think of the opinion today? All the people who oppose it, every single one of them, said they didn't like the bill for political reasons. They think the cost of health care is too high, so forth. I found the same thing, too, when I interviewed people today. I interviewed both supporters and opponents, and I hope some of you got a chance to watch my coverage, and if you did, let me know what you thought of it, 888-653-7543. But I asked people who opposed it about constitutionality arguments. Did anyone have any argument to say that it's unconstitutional? And their arguments were, we don't like the bill. And I said, okay, I know you don't like the bill, and we can argue why the bill is a good bill or a bad bill, and we'll get to that later on in this broadcast. But I said, right now, the issue is not whether it's a good bill or a bad bill. The issue is whether it's constitutional. Tell me why you don't think it's constitutional. And none of them could cite anything. A few of them said, you know, you can't force me to buy something. And so I pulled out my pocket constitution, and I introduced them to the tax and spend clause and the interstate commerce clause. I said to them, is this interstate? Is it commerce? Is it regulation? You know, I showed them the general welfare clause. And it's funny how when you actually show people the language of the Constitution, you put it in their face. I had one guy actually read it. And I think he was surprised to learn all the powers that Congress actually has. But it tells you what the right wing is so successful in doing. What they do is they don't like the bill. And again, we'll talk about the merits of the bill a little bit later on in the broadcast. Today is more devoted to the Supreme Court decision and the constitutionality of the bill. But they don't like a bill. And so they say it's unconstitutional. And for some people in America, unconstitutional is a synonym for I don't like it, right? I don't like broccoli. Broccoli is unconstitutional. I don't like Sam. Sam is unconstitutional. I mean, you can see how this thing works, right? I don't like the government taxing me. Taxing is unconstitutional. No, it's not. Something is constitutional or not, that has meaning. And I am against liberals or conservatives, and there are liberals that do it too, that simply say something is unconstitutional if they don't like it. You know, I detest the Ku Klux Klan, and I hate that they march, and I hate that they spout their extremely hateful rhetoric. But I recognize that it's constitutional for them to spout their hateful rhetoric. It's part of the free speech clause. I don't like it, but I recognize they have rights under the Constitution. There's all kinds of things. I detest the Electoral College. I think the Electoral College is a throwback to days that have long gone. I think it's crazy to not allow the popular victor to win. But I would never argue the Electoral College is unconstitutional. If I argued such a thing, that would be silly and ridiculous because the Electoral College is right there smack in the Constitution in Article 2. Anyone can read it. At least I don't hear too many liberals making stupid arguments like the Electoral College is unconstitutional. I detest the Electoral College. I would like to see it abolished. I actually think there are constitutional ways around it. If you want to go to the Electoral College, I'll talk about it. But don't say it's unconstitutional. That's just stupid. I would never make that argument. Well, conservatives and some liberals make the argument that if you don't like something, it's unconstitutional. And in doing so, they misunderstand the appropriate roles of a court and a legislative body. If you don't like Obamacare, then contact President Obama, contact members of Congress, and try to elect others in the fall. I'm going to argue that it's a very good law, and by the time it kicks in 2014, it will soon be as well-loved, give it 10 years, it'll be as well-loved as Medicare and Social Security are. But it needs time, it's new, people are scared of something that's new. Frankly, if you look at polls, they show that even though Americans are split half and half,